welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. Thank you for making us part of your journey. And I pray that you are having a safe journey to work. I've heard of a lot of people having been involved in accidents due to no fault on their own. And so I encourage you to be safe out there. Don't only drive in a cautionary way for yourself, but as they taught me, and let's make sure that we implement defensive driving. And so that can be a little more challenging, especially when it seems like there are more and more cars on the road every day. But let's get you to work safe. Let's get you home safe and get your errands done safe. Because we need more people in Brevard County doing the work of the kingdom, not fewer. So I want to say thank you today for the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. Dan and his team are the people that I have dealt with. And maybe you woke up this morning and said, you know, I want to upgrade my yard. I'd rather upgrade my yard than maybe sell my house, move, and all of that sort of stuff. And if that's what you are looking forward to, maybe you've got some trees that you want planted or landscaping you want done or pavers or your sprinkler system worked on, or maybe you're looking to say, hey, maybe I could bring somebody in and they could help me come up with a plan that would make my home not just my home but an oasis. Dan and his team could be a big-time blessing to you in that area, the way that they have been to me at my house and to us at the church. You can reach them at 321-208-2281. I believe that gets you in touch with David. But if you tell him you heard about him on the Refresh radio program, Dan came out to my house and I started introducing myself and he said, I know who you are. I listen to you every morning. And so not only he, but a number of his team are Refresh radio program listeners. And so we bless you today. We pray that you stay safe out there and have a healthy and wonderful day. Today we're going to go to Acts chapter 10. We are still working through this passage, looking at the spiritual truth of God's word. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 33 because it sets the stage of expectation. It was the purpose for which Cornelius had filled his house with visitors. And so verse number 33, Acts chapter 10 says, so I was sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God. Okay, you might want to put an emphasis there because that's what they're there for. So when I come to church, I want to know, what does God have to say? What does he have to say about my situation? What does he have to say to our congregation? That is the most important part. Everybody else can have an opinion, but God has truth. And it's nice if our opinion lines up with his truth, but people need to hear from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in such a manner that when an unbeliever comes into our midst, they say, surely God is with you. We need to hear what God has to say. So Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. We talked about that. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. That's where we ended last week. In this first verse, Peter begins his speaking to the people in Cornelius' house, and he begins to build a relationship with them, and he kind of identifies that he's on this journey with them. Now, I've been a pastor for a long time, but I want you to know that compared to infinity, I'm just getting started. When you compare my finite mind with the infinite realities of God, I'm just getting started. It doesn't matter if you're 10, if you're 50, if you're 80, or you're 100, you're still just getting started. And so I think it's very important for us to be able to have some relative point of understanding or point of reference when it comes to the people that we're speaking to. So Peter starts off and he tells them what God is doing in his life. How long has it been since you've been able to declare God is doing something in me? I shared a story with our congregation here several weeks ago about a young man that when he first became a Christian, his goal was to change the world. And then a period of time went by and he was just going to try and change the country. And more time went by and he said, well, maybe if I can just change the state, maybe if I can just change the city. More time goes by. Well, maybe if I can just change my family. By now his family would have been grown and gone and having families of their own. And finally, at the end of his life, he said, maybe if I could just change me. And the truth of the matter is that if we will allow God to change us, him changing us will change our families. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine passed away at his funeral. Son got up there and said, our family was forever changed the day that my father accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior and set his family on the trajectory of faith. Changed his family forever. I also know that he changed the kingdom. You know, he changed a community because of his generous, he operated in with tremendous physical knowledge and business expertise. And that not only changed his family, but that also changed his church, which changed a community, which changed and, brought change to the world. So Peter identifies them and says, look, I'm not here because I've got everything perfect. If you think that I'm here because I've got everything perfect, come to Merit Assembly of God, hang out, and you will find out that that is not the case. Either that or go and listen to last Thursday's program and you'll find out I'm not perfect. So an interesting thing happened to me several years ago. One of the men from my church, he sent me to a pastor's conference and it was really good. It was out in Arizona. I had been out there one other time in recent memory, and it was 114 degrees, I think, when I was there. I was there in August. This conference took place in February. I went out there and it like to froze. It was so cold. I didn't take a jacket because my point of reference was 114 degrees. So I didn't even take a jacket. I didn't take a long sleeve shirt. Everything I had was short sleeve. And so my journey from the car to the building was extremely quick. And one of the speakers there happens to be a very well-known speaker. He has a huge television ministry, and his presentation when he is speaking on television is flawless. Never bungles a word. Never mispronounces anything, never breaks his cadence or anything. It is absolutely flawless. And when he got up there to speak, I realized that he does some of the same verbal exercises that I do to try and get from one point to another point. And I said, you know what? There is a realism that is being projected from him in this setting that you wouldn't necessarily get if you were just watching his television program. I say that to tell you this, there are no perfect believers, not even you, definitely not me. And so it helps our weaknesses, the things that the grace of God have been in operation in our life, those can be tremendous gifts so that we can relate to other people. We get now to verse number 36, which in order for us to begin to hear this, we got to go back up to verse 33. We're here to hear all things commanded you by God. And Peter says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And so the word came through the Jewish people, but it wasn't supposed to end there. You know, there's a saying, don't put a period where God has put a comma. Also, don't put a comma where God has put a period. We want to speak the things that God wants us to speak, filter out those things that God doesn't want us to speak. So when I'm up ministering the word, I have information in front of me. I have my sermon laid out. I come on Sunday morning and I'm praying, God, is there anything you want to add? Is there anything you want to take away? And then when I go up to preach, I'm still being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if there's something that comes up, then I take just a moment and I evaluate it and I say, God, is this of you or is this a distraction that I need to avoid? And many times I will say, never mind, let's just move forward. Let's just move forward. So the word of God was given to the Jewish people so that it could be used to preach peace, shalom, through Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And like we've said many, many times, the shalom of God is more than just peace. It is more than just tranquility. It is more than just an absence of conflict. There are too many marriages that think, well, as long as we're not fighting, everything is okay. Well, no, that just might mean that y'all are giving each other the silent treatment, and that's not okay. When Jesus comes into your life, he wants to extend his dominion to every aspect of your life and bring wholeness to every aspect of your life. That's a great thing. And so the first person that we need to be at peace with is God. If you are at peace with the world, but you're still at enmity or at war with God, that's a problem. That's a problem. So the first person that we need to be at peace with is God. Jesus came to operate and to give us the ministry of reconciliation and reconcile us to the Heavenly Father. And so that's the message. We cannot dilute the Word of God into just another self-help message. That's not what the kingdom is about. That's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is getting us into the type of relationship with God that God intended for man to have all the way back in the Garden of Eden, where we walk together, we fellowship together, and we do life together. Not as God being some tangential experience, somebody on the fringe of our life that we just interact with occasionally. No, he's the core. Everything revolves around him. He holds things together. By him, all things consist and exist. He holds you together. He holds your relationship with God together. He did all the work. He did all the work. We get to walk in the benefits. And so it's very important that this message of peace through Jesus Christ is proclaimed throughout society, because there are a lot of people who are hostile or indifferent to God, and they think they're okay, and they're not okay. I don't know where you're at. I was talking to someone recently, and they said, I was in this conversation with this person, and they said, look, if a certain person is in heaven, I don't want to be there. And we've kind of talked about the righteousness of man versus the righteousness of God. And what this person was saying is, this person is so horrible that they don't deserve forgiveness, that they don't deserve to be in heaven. And I'll be honest with you, the person they're describing was horrible, horrific, did terrible things, monstrous things, demonic things. But the grace of God is still available to people who do those sorts of things, even in 2022. Don't ever consider yourself beyond the reach of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is one sin that is unforgivable, the unpardonable sin, and that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And my simple thing is this: if you are being convicted by the Holy Spirit and encouraged to repent, that's how you know that you have not committed the unpardonable sin, because the Holy Spirit's not going to waste your time or his time trying to bring you to reconciliation with God where there's no hope of reconciliation. There are some really foolish people, and I'm going to put it in those terms intentionally, who go out and intentionally, there's actually a website designed so people could go and intentionally commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit so that they wouldn't be forgiven. They said, I don't want to have anything to do with heaven. And I was like, that's really unwise. That's really, really unwise. So you and I, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit is constantly working on us to bring us to that relationship of peace. The other thing I would say about the unpardonable sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is that you've got to be careful not to attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to the work of the devil. And so I'm that type of guy that I don't want to go anywhere near speaking evil about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I avoid it. I know that there are some people that make jokes about it. Not me. I want to stay very far away from that, because I just don't want to push those sorts of boundaries. So here is the next point. It says preaching peace. So that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to preach peace through Jesus Christ. And this is what he says: he is Lord of all. And as I was preparing to come in to the radio studio, I circled that word all. And what I think is that all means a whole lot more than what we think. For the Jewish believers, all pretty much meant all Jewish people. To God, all means everybody. Jewish and Gentile, male and female, young and old, rich and poor. He wants nobody. He doesn't, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all, say that word with me, all should have everlasting life. Well, Peter is just now coming to the to this new godly definition of all, where all doesn't just mean all of the Jewish people, but he's like, he is Lord of more areas, of more people groups than what I had previously acknowledged. And so I want to ask you, is there any area of your life today that the Holy Spirit is saying, look, Jesus wants to be sovereign in all of your life? I recently went in and met with my doctor. I meet with him, you know, a few times a year, and had lab works done and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was healthy and things like that. And so if there was an area that didn't come in, it was like, okay, what am I going to do to correct that situation? Because our bodies are designed in such a way that it doesn't take your whole body shutting down to take you out. One area of your body could take you out. So I want Jesus sovereign in my physical body. I want Jesus sovereign in my spiritual life. I want him sovereign in my finances. I want him sovereign in my mental health. I want him sovereign in my heart so that my words can bring glory to him. So my question is there any area in your life where God is right now saying, I want you to expand your horizons so that I am able to bring peace through my sovereignty into your relationships, into your spiritual life, your financial life? He wants to be Lord of all. Now, there's one particular song. And I remember one time there was a minister, I don't remember exactly the minister that said this. He said, sometimes we sing songs in church that we make ourselves out to be liars. And the song that he was specifically thinking about, it's an absolutely wonderful song. It's a hymn that will move you, and it's, you know, sponsor, you know, it's been the launching point for some contemporary songs. But the message of the song is this: I surrender all. I surrender all. And so I want to ask you, if you want him to be sovereign over all, have you surrendered all? For Peter, he was just coming to the realization that God's plan was much bigger than what Peter had realized. So God is able, this is what the scripture says, God is able to do more than we can ask or think. Another translation says, or imagine. When you are praying for God to save people, when you're praying for God to heal people, I want to bring some freedom to your life. You can't think bigger than what God can think. You cannot imagine things beyond the scope of God's authority. His ability is to extend to all. And he says, Peter goes on and he says, that word you know. So when Peter started out, he started out by sharing what God was doing in him personally, and it created a point of reference where he was able to communicate with Cornelius and that group and says, look, I'm not here as a flawless, perfect authority. I'm just here as a servant of the Most High God, and God is doing a work in me even right now as we speak. And you're here to hear the word that God has commanded. I want to start off by pointing out to you the most important part, and that is the need that every human being has for Jesus. This morning, if you're rich or you're poor, you maybe never heard about Jesus, never been in a church. Maybe you were born underneath the pew. You know, there are some people in our church, and they say, look, my parents were pastors, and we'd go to church, and they'd throw us underneath the pew to fall asleep while they were having church. Maybe that's your heritage, but let me tell you, it's not your genetics that's going to get you into heaven. It's your Savior that's going to get there. And so he says, I'm going to preach the message, and I also want you to know that that's the word you know. You have to start from a place where people already have a level of understanding. The word of God never changes. The Cornelius is, we are here gathered, waiting to hear what God has commanded you to say. And Peter starts off with sharing with them a word that they already know. I want you to understand that there are some phenomenal preachers in America right now, and everybody wants to hear something new all of the time. I'm here to tell you that sometimes you not only need to bring out the new treasures that God has laid into your heart, but you need to bring out the old proven heirlooms of the faith that are absolutely essential for the kingdom of God. I read one time about D.L. Moody preaching a revival, and he preached John 3:16, and the next night he preached John 3:16, and the next night, and people kept getting saved. And they said, is that the only verse that you preach? And he said, no, but not everybody's gotten saved yet. And so he started with the word that they knew, and God was getting ready to do an even greater work. I hope that you do not limit the scope of your all. I pray that your all doesn't just include you and your family, your kids, your grandkids, and your neighbors and loved ones and coworkers. I pray today that just like Peter, you'd say, everybody needs to hear that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If your church isn't missions-minded, you be missions-minded. Get out there. If your church doesn't have much in the way of evangelism, I'll ask God, what would you have me to do to speak to people's life? Because you want to be the Prince of Peace in that person's life, and I want to help. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank Earth. You for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
So pure, so right, this love I feel inside. So good just to be with you. No shame to hide, you put my fears to flight. I know that I am safe when I'm with you. This is who I meant to be.